The sidewalk was still slick with the remnants of an October chill when I first looked at the scene outside the townhome on Joliet Place. It was just after 6:30 in the morning on October 21st, 2023, and the neighborhood of Lafayette Park was beginning to wake up to a reality that would soon shatter the quiet of the entire city. A trail of blood led from inside the residence out onto the pavement where a body lay motionless in the early light. There were multiple stab wounds visible even from a distance, and the sheer violence of the act stood in stark contrast to the peaceful, mid-century modern aesthetic of the surrounding parkland. Neighbors had found the victim and called it in, their voices trembling over the dispatch lines as they realized the person lying there was someone they saw nearly every day. The air was heavy with that specific metallic scent that never quite leaves your clothes after a morning like this. As I established the perimeter, the weight of the situation began to press in, because this was not a random corner of the city where violence was a common occurrence. This was a place where people felt safe, and the victim was someone whose life was defined by the very opposite of the brutality that had ended it. I watched the forensic team begin their slow, methodical crawl toward the doorway, knowing that the story of what happened inside those walls started long before the sun came up. The investigation was officially underway into the death of Samantha Wall. The timeline of the evening prior began with a celebration of life and community that made the eventual discovery even more difficult to reconcile. Samantha had attended a wedding that Friday night, and by all accounts from those in attendance, she was in high spirits and full of the energy that had made her a pillar of the Detroit Jewish community. She left the wedding and arrived back at her home in the Lafayette Park neighborhood. Sometime after midnight, forensic analysis of her home security and personal devices indicated that she entered her residence around 12:30 in the morning. The neighborhood is known for its tight-knit feel, but at that hour, the streets were largely empty and the city sounds were muffled. There was no immediate sign of a forced entry, which initially led us to look at every possible angle, including those who might have had access to her personal life. For the next several hours, the house remained quiet until the security system registered a door opening at approximately 4:20 in the morning. It was during this window of time that the attack occurred, leaving Samantha to stumble outside in a desperate attempt to seek help before collapsing on the sidewalk. When we began the canvas of the area, we were looking for anything that felt out of place in a neighborhood that prides itself on being a sanctuary. We interviewed dozens of guests from the wedding, reconstructed her entire digital footprint for the final 48 hours of her life, and began the grueling process of pulling every frame of available video from the surrounding blocks. The initial shockwave through the city sparked immediate speculation. Given her high-profile role as the president of the Isaac Agree Downtown Synagogue, we had to move with extreme precision to ensure that the investigation remained grounded in physical evidence rather than the intense public pressure and national headlines that began to swirl within hours of the discovery. My team spent days mapping out her professional associations and political ties, looking for a motive that matched the personal and frenzied nature of the crime. The digital and forensic evidence eventually provided the breakthrough we needed, centering on a series of technical data points that didn't align with the early theories of a targeted hit. We began analyzing cell tower pings and mobile device locations for anyone in the vicinity of Joliet Place between the hours of 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock in the morning. This forensic dragnet surfaced a person of interest who had no discernible connection to Samantha or the synagogue. The evidence shifted toward Michael Jackson Bolanos, a man who had been in the area that night. When we pulled his phone records and matched them against blue light cameras and private security feeds, a pattern of movement emerged that suggested a series of vehicle break-ins in the neighborhood. We recovered a jacket from the suspect's residence that contained trace amounts of biological material. Laboratory testing confirmed the presence of blood on the fabric, and the DNA profile matched Samantha Wall. This was the definitive link we required to move the case from a broad investigation into a specific prosecution. The forensic team also analyzed the suspect's electronic movements, which showed him moving through the Lafayette Park area in a zigzag pattern consistent with someone checking car door handles. Further evidence was found in the form of a small pocket knife, though the primary focus remained the blood-stained clothing, which the suspect had attempted to clean. We spent hundreds of hours synchronizing the timestamps of various doorbell cameras to track his path from the scene back to his own residence. The technical data showed a direct overlap between his presence outside her home and the moment the security system registered the final door opening. There were no encrypted messages or hidden manifestos found on his devices, only the mundane digital trail of a man moving through the night. The forensic narrative didn't point to a grand conspiracy or a hate crime, but rather to a series of escalating events that began with a simple theft and ended in a violent struggle inside a darkened living room. This clarity of evidence allowed us to reconstruct the final moments with a high degree of certainty, stripping away the speculation that had clouded the case for weeks. The legal proceedings followed the trail of evidence closely, leading to a complex trial that tested the strength of the forensic links. Michael Jackson Bolanos was charged with felony murder, home invasion, and lying to a peace officer. Throughout the trial in the Wayne County Circuit Court, the prosecution presented the DNA evidence from the jacket as the central pillar of the case against him. The defense argued that the presence of blood was the result of a chance encounter, or that the suspect had merely stumbled upon the body after the attack had already occurred. However, the prosecution countered this by highlighting the suspect's own statements and the inconsistencies in his timeline of movements that night. In July of 2024, the jury returned a verdict after days of deliberation. They found Jackson Bolanos guilty of first-degree murder, home invasion, and lying to the police. The court subsequently sentenced him to life in prison without the possibility of parole, ensuring that he would remain incarcerated for the remainder of his natural life. During the sentencing hearing, the judge noted the senselessness of the crime and the profound impact the loss had on the city of Detroit. The Isaac Agree Downtown Synagogue and the various political organizations Samantha had served issued statements reflecting on her legacy of bridge building and community service. The case was officially closed in the eyes of the law, with the conviction standing as the final factual record of the events that took place on Joliet Place. The physical evidence, from the DNA on the jacket to the digital breadcrumbs left by a cell phone, provided the answers that the initial chaos of the scene could not. Samantha Wall was buried in a ceremony attended by hundreds of mourners, and her death remains a significant point of reflection for the community she spent her life trying to improve. The investigation concluded with the finality of a life sentence, marking the end of a process that began with a trail of blood on a cold Michigan morning and ended in a courtroom filled with the weight of justice served.